Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 575 for October 2nd, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly.
I am Pistolless Peasant Tony of Calgary. Hmm.
And I'm the well-pistoled non-peasant, Adriel.
Okay, so how are you a pistolless peasant from Calgary,
Tony? That's the slur that we use for people who got their restricted after and don't have any pistols.
You don't have a pistol.
No.
This is the best thing I can show you. This is my pistol.
I thought you had gotten a pistol. No, that doesn't count, Tony.
He just borrows them.
Yeah, you borrow them so that you can participate in pistol activities. So have lots of friends who have lots of pistols. So make friends often.
Always living in the fear, though. Just like, I'm going to crack a frame.
You're not going to crack a frame. It's hard to crack a frame.
You never know.
So... And if it happens, it happens. It's, you know, part of the gamble people have when they loan out their firearms.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I don't have a friend who have a P320.
You're not missing much.
No.
No. But there's no frame for you to crack.
Well, there's a chassis for you to crack. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Always have to blow up.
Wreck. Don't worry. You can wreck a P320. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. It's hard to wreck a gun. It is. So
yeah, I agree. It is kind of hard to wreck a gun. Like if you look at Milsurp rifles and the crap that people put them through, and they still work just fine.
Yep.
Yeah, you can put a gun through a lot of
it. Now you could blemish it, but guns are meant to be shot. And if people have issues with people blemishing their guns, they shouldn't be loaning them out. That's all.
And really. They're tools.
Yeah.
Like the job of a gun's not just to sit there and look all sparkly. The job of the gun is to shoot bullets.
Correct. If they want to sit there and look all sparkly, then they'll sit in the safe, which we have plenty of those doing right now. We need to get out there and just shoot them. Right.
Well, I just buy something for it to sit in a safe.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Why don't we get into the show and talk about what we did in guns this week while I take my computer and throw it at something because it's not acting nice right now.
You need a desktop computer. That's what you need.
Desktop? Jesus Christ. I'm in the century, Tony. Are you?
No, I went back to the previous century. I never came back.
No.
I'm desktop back, Kelly.
Yeah.
So this computer, my one upstairs. Mike's saying it's easy. Just use pistol powder and a rifle. Ruined.
Yeah, that'll work. It's hard. And when I said it's hard to ruin a pistol, it's not hard to ruin it if you chamber a different caliber in there and
or run rifle powder in it.
Or run rifle powder in it. So
not even. It wouldn't run properly.
That's not going to do anything.
Mike, you're around, Tony. Are you willing to lend him some of your pistols?
He may use some pistol powder. But not new pistol.
So why don't we get into what we've done in guns this week? Okay, Adriel, why don't you start us off? Because I know that you've done some stuff, right?
I did some stuff, yeah.
Cool.
That's a little match. It's team match up north. Yeah, it was good. Driving out there, we blew a tire.
Oh, really? But
I was with
not again. I thought you did a lot. No, it wasn't you, but someone did it last year too.
Someone else did it last year, yeah. This year, it was our turn. My trailer has these tiny little tires and they didn't appreciate going 120 kilometers an hour and carrying way more than they're rated for, which I didn't look at because like they were new tires when I bought the trailer 2 years ago or whatever. I didn't look at the weight rating on it, but I looked when I replaced them. I'm like, holy crap, I'm carrying way more than these things are rated for, like 400 pounds more than they're rated for. So yeah, the fact that they lost their shit, I guess, shouldn't have been that much of a surprise.
What was the road like? What type of road was it?
Well, the road was fine, just highway.
It's not Calgary on roads.
All paved roads. It was fine. It was just going too fast with too much load on too small tires. So
yeah, it
with bigger tires.
Oopsie doodle.
As the two guys I was with, both like sprang into action. We had that thing off and then knew the donut on in like 10 minutes flat. No problem.
So it looked like you looked like a bunch of F1.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Like, it started making noise, and we stopped and we looked and we're like, can't see anything. And then we kept driving. And it's like, that noise is still there.
Really?
And then, gaw, 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 gaw. It's like, oh, well, there goes the tire. And oh, look, there's a roadside stop, like stop area. Whoop, like right into it. I didn't even drive for like as I was slowing down. It was right there. Beautiful. Yeah.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to the match, shot the match. I think. Like in terms of performance, like we took a lot of penalties on some of the stages. Some of the stages we got really hosed on. It was time plus penalties with Vickers scoring, which means that if you have let's see, one or two stages that you blow, it can wreck your match. And yeah, we didn't do that well. But even with the penalties, Josh and Sam are another team out there, and they would have whooped us regardless, even with the penalty. Without the penalties, they still would have whooped us. So they shot well, we didn't, and they won. And as well as some other people did some really in other divisions did really well as well. Yeah, it's a good match though. Lots of fun, lots of interesting little stage things that they had going. They had you blow up a gallon of water, like a jug of water. From really close with a slug. Yeah, so blows water everywhere, and then you have to do the rest of the stage. It's kind of fun. They had like a wagon that you pulled backwards through a stage, which is kind of fun. And yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was like notable. I like the long range. You could tell, like the guy who puts the match on, you could tell he was at work on it for a long time because there was so much pre-planned. Like the long range bay had two stages on it and the shootout, and all the props were there. Everything was like ready to go there. They were color different. Like this color's for PCC and rimfire shooters. This color targets for rifle shooters. Super, super, super well prepped. So you could tell it.
That's the craziest thing though. One of the biggest three gun match in Alberta and probably Canada is like in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Yeah, that's how I would describe Peace River. Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, like, with that group, like, they got started doing three-gun really early and have just been doing it for a really, really long time. So I think that's why, like, they have a pretty good core of people. They've got a good core of people in that area. And then we have, like, quite a big contingent of people coming up from Edmonton that make the drive up. So I think we had, like, I don't know, 20 people. From Edmonton, so that's like quite a few teams coming up that made their way up for the match. So, yeah, that's that good. Worth the drive, right?
How many hours again? Five-hour
drive. Yeah.
Wow,
that's not that bad. I mean, it's
bad. It's long.
It's long, but if you get a couple of guys to split gas money with, it's not that bad. Because like we split gas costs. Trailer, man, it's free. You know, there's no cost there. We know there's no hotel cost, so it was basically like $70 each.
Blew a tire. There's a cost right there.
I blew a tire. Yeah, that's I blew a bad tire that shouldn't have been on that trailer to begin with. So,
did you upgrade to higher load ratings now?
Yep, most definitely did.
Here's the crazy thing, though. When I was moving with my friend from Toronto to Thunder Bay. I checked, and after I came back home, I checked my car too. Well, our cars are both sedans. The total rating for your all the human being on board and your cargo is 380 kilograms.
So that's your carrying capacity, your cargo
like
capacity?
Like your entire vehicle. Myself is taking up a third of that. That's like crazy. So it's like, what? You can sit three Americans in this car. You can't have any cargo.
So there's
five freaking seats.
It's crazy. That's why you need, you know, some vehicles that can carry more. Some are more like community vehicles. Anyways, so yeah, I think that's a way to do a match like that is to take a trailer out. It's cheaper. I think, what's his name? Dave from the Three Gun Show. He was talking about his costs to go to matches, and his biggest one, hotels, and mostly hotels and gas. Like, you think about your cost of the match itself, that's not the most expensive thing. Your ammo's more expensive, your hotel's more expensive, your flight's more expensive if you choose to fly, or gas if you're hauling like a big heavy trailer. So, and that's just with one person though. So if you go multiple people and you split gas, then all of a sudden the gas and trailer and
even hotel, all that right? kind of stuff.
Yeah. Then it becomes very reasonable. And they had good prizes too. They always have good prizes, but this year they had really good prizes. They had pretty much everyone gets like a branded t-shirt or sweater, like a hoodie.
Yeah.
For branded for the match, which is kind of neat. They had booze, they had a couple of guns, they had lots of stuff there on the prize table, which is again very cool. Let's see. Oh yeah, we got second in our division overall, not even close. It was very different. Like last year we had a really huge gap between us and the next group, but this year we made some mistakes. Mistakes were made.
Raven's running good.
What's that?
Raven's running good.
I can't blame anything on my guns. My guns all ran fine. My shotgun ran fine. It gave me one hold up on a slug, which it does that sometimes. If the first round is a slug, sometimes it just won't do a full extraction. Yeah. But they're like low recoil slugs and I can't be bothered to buy like anything else. So be it. But the pistol never gave me a hang up. Rifle never gave me a hang up. I saw someone else's Raven break the side charger handle off.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the same problem as yours? Did you walk over saying?
No, it wasn't. I looked. It just broke off. So what I did, I have two charging handles on my Raven, right?
You gave him off, one.
And I loaned it to him for the match. I said, yeah. Well, we'll get you going like right now. Here, just screw this on there. There you go. And yeah, he was up and running immediately. So glad I had it. Even if it didn't help me, it helped him.
So I guess in the end, there's still a design problem with the side charger. It's not sturdy enough.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But you could always just put a screw through it and a little bit of fuel hose and
man, I spent $2,000 on a gun and I have to hose clamp it together.
Mine feels better though. My charging handle feels better.
It's softer.
It is better. Yeah, it's softer, it's grippier, it's better in every way. Except for it looks kind of silly if you look too hard at it, but so does the rest of my rifle. We had a long range stage on day two and I just murdered it. It was fast. It was great. Yeah.
Cool.
Buy a Sterling Art Mark III? No.
I'm still waiting for the PSA. I'm still waiting.
I might get my hands on a WK 180 Gen 3 at some point. And maybe the Mark III, maybe the R18 Mark III, maybe I'll get my hands on one of those. So I'd like to do some reviews on those coming forward. That would be nice. And then, yeah, maybe some other stuff. Who knows? But for now, like the thing that I like about the Raven is the barrel. The barrel that I've got on there is accurate. It shoots crap ammo well, and it shoots all crap ammo to the same point of impact. So I don't have to make any adjustments to my scope.
That's kind of impressive.
Oh, my XM193 green tip reloads. I had some steel case Barnall. It's all within the same 2-inch point of aim, which is good for me because that's what I want. I don't want to shoot like match ammo. I just want to shoot like whatever garbage I have and just keep dumping it down range. And Anyways, moving on. I did something kind of strange. I took my MMP mags and I put a block in there so it only holds 5 rounds. And that's because Alberta big game regs say if you're hunting big game with a semi-auto, it can only have 5 rounds in it. Now, I don't really intend on shooting a deer with this thing, but I have high velocity hollow points that will do it. And I have a 5-round mag, which means that my firearm is now legal to do it. This was primarily because I was going to hunt grouse with it. But what if the fishing game officer thinks I'm hunting deer with it? I need to
That's a thing you have to. You have to prove that you're not hunting deer.
I have a deer tag, Tony. I have a deer tag.
Right.
Deer season in the area I'm going. I have a firearm that could be used for harvesting deer legally.
That's like saying I'm target shooting with my 50 effing BMG. I have a deer tag just because I'm a hunter too.
Well, funny you say that, because in some of the maritime provinces, you have to have a hunting license.
Correct.
Shooting, even target shooting,
yep,
out in the middle of the bush.
Yep.
Now, in Alberta,
welcome to Alberta.
So
I'm not moving anywhere else except the States. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But what if I saw a deer? What if I saw a really big deer and it was really
close?
Well,
yeah, that's fair. But I'm saying, like, even if I don't have the intent, I have to prove to the conservation officer that that's crazy.
I don't think so. But this is a weird situation. Like, to be out hunting with a centerfire rifle and hunting grouse with it, like, that's a weird thing to do. If you're using a .22, okay.
I could be hunting rabbits with my .223 pump action.
Sure.
But you can't hunt deer with your .223 pump action, right?
What if you got a 300 Win Mag out and you're out and I'm hunting for grouse with my 300 Win Mag?
Well, yeah, but it's a 9mm. It's explainable.
I think so. I don't think I would have gotten any trouble, but at the same time, what if
it's
I see
too much hassle? Right. Well, yeah, that explains it, right? But
yeah,
I'm just saying, if I'm walking around with my pump action 223, very likely chance, mm-hmm, I'm going for just exploration, looking for rabbits, looking for mm-hmm non-game animals or whatever, birds, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Just allow us to hunt with .223. Everything will be fine.
And .22 LR. Just everything.
Like deer, though? Oof.
Pelicans. No, maybe that's silly. Anyways, yeah, so I blocked it. So I guess it gives me some more options, right? More options here. Why am I taking my FPC? Well, I was thinking about going motorbike hunting this weekend. And I need stuff that'll fit in the side bags or like strapped to the back or something like that. And the FPC is folding, so it's a better choice than my 300 Blackout, because my 300 Blackout's still like long compared to the FPC when it's folded, right? Folding guns, mm-hmm, just like cut the length so much. So,
but you can take the pins, mm-hmm, separate it.
Oh, but my 300 Blackout is the
SBI.
So if you remove the pins, the lower comes off, but the back buffer tube there stays on. So you still end up with the whole length.
Oh, okay. You can't lose So the cut isn't 45 degrees. It's literally 90 degrees and.
Yeah. So that wouldn't make it work, but the FPC will. So maybe I'll use the FPC for grouse, maybe for deer, probably for nothing.
Mm.
For nothing, really? You're the hunting gear guy. You're not the fail at hunting gear guy.
It's called hunting. It's not going to the grocery store and capturing something.
Yeah.
Bagging some game.
I put another sling attachment point on that FPC, and now I don't mind the other one. So the other one was kind of in a silly spot, I thought. But once you actually have a sling on it, it actually kind of makes sense. As long as you sling it just on your back. If it's on your shoulder, it's fine. It's just, it has no option to sling across your front that makes any sense whatsoever.
Okay.
But on your back is fine. Wait, I have photos. I can show you guys. Because that lower point that it has... that one, maybe. Let's see. Present this one over here. Yeah, so I put one up near the top there, and it goes around, and then it connects kind of at the top of the bottom of the stock there, which is fine. It's actually comfortable. Yeah,
there you can see. Crazy muzzle brake did you put on that thing?
I pulled it off because
the high point.
The high point will not take it.
I thought you said it had baffle strikes.
Yeah, right. I get baffle strikes out of it. The FPC I don't, because it wasn't made by morons. But I took it off because if I was going to go out hunting with it, I don't want this break like wrecking my hearing for mediocre muzzle breaking activity. Mm. So I pulled it off. It doesn't have it on there right now. So I might go motorbike hunting. I might go to my parents. I'm not quite sure which I'm going to do at this point. I'm just kind of like debating one or the other and seeing kind of what we do. Motorbike hunting would be fun. It could be fun. But then my parents' place is easy. I get some gross there.
Visit. Ride the bike to your parents' place. Done.
Hmm. Yeah. But then I also don't like hunting grouse there, because if I hunt grouse there, I'll kill them all. I'll find the three grouse they have on their land. I'll shoot them. And then they won't have grouse for the rest of the year. They just don't have that many. Deer, yes. Grouse, no. Yes. Yes, the annual tradition of armed hiking. Yeah, that's what a lot of my hunting ends up being, is armed hiking. That's the thing I like about like going out to a location though and hunting, because then you do a lot of hiking, put on the miles, lose some weight, get some exercise, all good stuff. Kelly, what about you?
So this past weekend I did a doubleheader up in CFB Borden. So we went and did on Saturday, we did a regular Maple Seed event at Langemark Range, and we had some really awesome people that came out. A lot of new shooters. I was working specifically with someone who's never handled a gun before, and he did great. He's one of the, I kept saying, you're such a great student. By the end of it, he was going, I'm going, look at this. I was taking pictures and showing him, and he was grading great groups, and he's going, it's because I'm such a great student. And I said, yes, it is. So lots of really good and engaged shooters on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we did the No Distance at Vimy Range. That was a lot of fun, too. We had two different relays that were going. One team was in the butts and one was out shooting. So it ended up, we had a couple of people who dropped out last minute. So Rick decided he was going to shoot. And then also, how about in the butt? So I became a shoot boss instead of him. And it was a lot of fun. We were working at some of the tweaks and suggestions we had from our last known distance. And yeah, lots of people did well. Nobody scored a rifleman, though, on their known distance. Richard, who's watching / listening, he was there in attendance. And he brought a lever action. It was awesome. It was great to see him do that. Had some great photos from in the butts as well. And then we had some videos, so we posted those on all the social media. Love going to CFB Borden. It's a lot of fun. The range is well maintained. It's excellent. Best porta potties by far that I've ever had the opportunity to use. That's how I rate ranges, is by their porta potties. And not only that, we had some really great people. So Dave, who's one of our co-hosts, he was there. He was the RSO for both days. And then we had Brian Bolivar, who's been a previous host on Slam Fire Radio. He was running the butts, and he did it very smoothly on the at the known distance. So it was great to have some really experienced people that were helping out. And yeah. Yeah, I really, really enjoy doing known distance. But Adriel, the butt system has, it's the cat's meow. We need to see if we can use those from now on.
We don't have them out here.
What?
We don't have them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it just says his lever action takes magazine. Is it a Daria TM22?
He does have actually magazine
fat. Is it a Henry?
It's a Henry. Yeah.
Oh, it's the Long Ranger.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah. So that was me for this past week. On this next weekend, I am going to. So this Saturday, I'm going to be going up to. It's a doubleheader again. So I'm going to Stittsville, and I'm going to help out in the morning at Stittsville Range, and then in the afternoon I am extricating myself from the Maple Seed. I'm going to go over to EOSE, which is Eastern Ontario Shooting Center. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I just call it EOSE. So we're going to go over there, and it's the Ladies' Day for EOSE. I had already committed to them, and then we had arranged another Maple Seed or two Maple Seeds. So I'm going to go in the morning. I'm going to go help set up, go in to the Ladies' Day, and then I'm going to stay overnight in Ottawa. And then on Sunday, another Maple Seed at Stittsville. So it's going to be a fun-filled weekend. Excited about that. And other than that, oh, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Adriel. So Saturday, this past Saturday, I'm sitting there wearing my peltors with my brand new, you know, gels and everything. And my peltors.
The real gels?
Yeah.
The peltor ones?
Yeah.
That flatten?
They were fine. I just bought them.
Okay.
So the ears themselves, I kept having problems with them over the past couple of events, like the volume on them. So I was trading out. I was trading out
batteries.
No, it's not the batteries. It's the actual peltors. So right there in the middle of the range, I ordered a new set of MSAs, the Swordens. I'm going.
Which Screw one? It. The super fancy dance?
No, no, I didn't buy the new super fancy. Still, I had buyer's remorse when I clicked purchase. But still, I just, you know, I kill ear protection like a lot. So I ordered from a local, well, not local, Canadian company, SRS Tactical, too. So I felt better about that. But I did end up buying a new pair of ears because my peltors, they are now just over the ear, non-electronic. Yeah. So, yeah, I did. I did it. I clicked the purchase button. So they're supposed to be here by this tomorrow.
How much were they?
Okay, so I got the replacement gel pads for the ears, and then I got, so it was $400, and that's with shipping and everything, including the ear, the gel cups.
Yeah, that's up there. Yeah. Like those new ones are like, what, $700 or something?
Yeah, I'm
like
not that. Spending that. Dave's going,
wow.
Dave's going, why don't you buy those and just, you know, tell me how they are.
Did you get the Pro X?
Yeah,
Supreme?
I did.
Supreme Pro X?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking for black. They didn't have any black, so I have to go with the green. Ugh.
Why don't you try some of the in-ear type?
No.
I'm thinking it's just because the amount of rain.
Oh, SRS Tactical had them for $306.
Yeah, and then I got the gels. Then I had to pay for shipping. Shipping, by the way, is ridiculous.
Right? This is free shipping.
No.
SRS Tactical had free shipping on them.
Free shipping if you wanted them next September. I paid for Purolator. It was the cheapest office and the quickest compared to Canada Post, which was stupid. So. Okay. Huh. That's me. That's it. Tony, what about you?
All right. Because Tony is on the show, he's going to talk about his favorite pistol in 1911. And I got to shoot one for a match over the last weekend for Steel Challenge. I shot two divisions, so I thoroughly stress test Steve's gun. Sorry, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Sorry about dropping a magazine. I shot two divisions. The total round count is about 500. Let me see if I can share my screen on what gun he's got. Share screen. I think he also got it from Red Deer. So it was an Alpha Foxtrot 1911 E4, I guess, fully enhanced. I didn't realize it at the time. It's actually a commander length slide on a... I forgot. Well, I'm thinking it's probably a commander length barrel, but it does have a threaded barrel. Allegedly, technically, it's not USPSA legal because it is a bull barrel gun, not a bushing gun, but allegedly. I have some thoughts on it. It's somehow the most amazing 1911 ever shot, and not really. It had a very, very smooth slide, and I don't know why. I'm thinking it has something to do with the diamond-like coating, the DLC finish on it. But if you have the hammer back, it's just sliding back and forth. I can do a press check with just my thumb on the slide. It's that good. Yeah, it's very impressive. It's like better than 2011's. They have this very odd adjustable, you can see the screw here, yeah, spring-loaded adjustable rear sight. And at the end of the match, one of the screws, I didn't even notice it, but one of the screws is about to leave the gun. So not a fan of that. It shoots pretty high for me. I'm not sure if it's because the loosening of the screw or it's just not zeroed for my ammo, my sights, which is probably hot because it's supposed to be a steel challenge gun. I'm just shooting factory out of it. I'm not going to try to blow up this gun that got lended to me. It have some odd cyclings. Some brasses are kind of flying into my face. I think a few actually hit my face too, but just not very consistent ejection patterns. I was using a fleet of 6 Wilson Combat magazines, but even being one of the most highly regarded magazine brands for 1911, it still has some nosedive issues. If I haven't mentioned yet, this is a 9mm gun. So the Wilson Mags does have a metal fuller and a plastic polymer spacers on the back, which isn't the style I liked. So there's a few times that I can feel the recoil isn't quite right. Look down, push the slide back in, and keep going. So there was a few nosedives. And when loading it, you have to be very sure that you're pushing it down and then kind of clicking it. So the first round, the magazine is kind of facing upwards. I guess it has something to do with first 9mm is a smaller round than 45. It's still single stacked. Second is 9mm had a taper case. If you read into the whole loading data thing, comparing to 45 where it's just a literal straight case. So it does have some effect there, I believe. Thread a barrel, I didn't put anything on it. I'm not sure if Steve will. Maybe he will put a muzzle brake on it. I didn't bring it, I guess. The Blake Tech holster actually worked quite well. Steve brought me a holster because, you know, his gun. But I try to use my holster. It works well. It actually clicks in. So that's very nice. I have to tighten a little bit from the factory settings. Overall, gun feels great. Presents great. How I like my 1911. Oh, a thing. The sights. I grown to hate triple dot sights now. It's just kind of, I don't know, all over the place. With my experience, I shot the sights on the Shadow 2 much better.
I don't like
at least how
either.
I feel like it. I just feel like it's kind of, yeah, it's too busy. You're like, I'm trying to find the notch, not the two dots on the side. I'm just looking at a notch. So I guess a dot would be maybe better, but not my gun. Second, swappable Novak style sights. So not a huge deal there. The gun did try to cut me in two places, which is unfortunate, and give me some thoughts on how I would build my own 1911. The first touch bar is here, actually, where the safety is. Too bad Cal isn't on here because he is probably the person that shoots manual safety guns the most. This part, because I'm riding the safety lever with my thumb, this part is kind of jabbing into the web of my hand, which is surprising to me. It looks rounded, but it's a bit sharp, actually. I didn't quite break the skin, but I can still see there's a mark on my hand right here. Second is somehow my hand is too big for the gun. My palm here is actually getting slightly jabbed by the heel of the frame here. So a magwell is legal for both IPSC and USPSA, so a standard size magwell two-piece design with a little bit of extension will probably help. And most of the magwells have a rounded edge instead of a kind of a classic 1911.
Yeah, you can also get a mainspring cover that's got like a broken edge there rather than being straight. Right. Like that's crazy sharp on that one. You can see here on mine, it's got a 45-degree angle on it and a magwell, but...
Right, so
that would make for a nice.
So it's not a huge deal. Slightly concerned that my Steel Challenge scores hasn't been posted yet, But after their post-it, I'm still missing four guns. Revolvers, optics, and irons. I'll flash that out in probably one go. And then an open gun, I'm just going to shoot whatever, probably the APX again. And a rimfire iron pistol. So we have another SEAL challenge coming up end of October. I'll probably do the open gun and the rimfire irons gun. I'll probably do a weekday match for the revolvers, so I don't have to shoot too many rounds of 38 special. It gets expensive, and I'm probably not that good at it. That's about it. Yeah, a lot of shoot. The most amount of 1911 was shot, I guess, in a day, 500 rounds. And you have to get your hands on, I guess this is why you dry fire, right? You have to get your hands on the gun to kind of help train yourself where your hands are supposed to land, what are the touch points you want to improve. Now, my draw on my right hand, I know pretty much where my hands are supposed to be. My thumb is on the safety, disengaging and resting on it. My left hand is still like, sometimes I'm trying to go for the takedown lever, which is okay. But for this sport, I'm not doing a reload on the clock. But that's, I guess it's not probably not the best idea in the long term.
What was your grip like, or which was, so when you were getting hit in the face with the casings?
Was definitely like, not on a slide, I can tell you that. Somehow the gun doesn't try to cut me, which is surprising, because my thumb is kind of close to that, but no.
No, normally if you don't have it, if you're still trying to figure out your grip and you don't have a good grip on it, the casings will come back and hit you in the face.
As I know, but to the that's side, right? Probably a discussion for pistol owning, not peasant, Tony. To
well, 1911s are notorious for it. That's all.
Yeah. If you come shoot a multi-gun match up here, you can borrow this guy if you want to.
Oh, God. Yeah. Now I have to. Chinese people shooting Chinese gun. The whole thing is going to fall to pieces.
Nope. No, this one won't.
So it's nice that your friend actually allowed you to borrow it. You didn't blow it up, so you have a good track record, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I guess I borrowed... Oh, how many guns? Well, I did have an auto battery with the Smith & Wesson Victory once. That was a borrowed gun. So that was the closest to blowing up.
How'd you have an auto battery?
I was on the clock. And then, pew, my face is filled with smoke and powder now.
Okay.
Might be a case failure. I don't know if the case failed first or the gun failed first. I'm thinking the gun. Because it was the second or the third shot off the string. It's also close to the end of the day, so it might just be too dirty. So,
okay.
Hard to say.
Maybe.
But,
okay. Yeah. Let's get into upcoming events. Adriel, do you want to tell us about three-gun matches that are happening?
So many three-gun matches. The Chaz one's going to be moved. It's not going to be this weekend.
So
some other date, because they had to do some work on the range. Sherwood Park has one on October 19th. Sherwood Park has one on November 2nd, and then Chaz has one on November 9th.
Okay.
Mike is saying I need a Carbot high voltage 1911.
Cabot.
Oh, what's high voltage about it?
It's 220 volts. Okay. Really nice looking ones. Let's see. Oh, Damascus 1911. Well, this looks a little bit too fancy for my blood. But if you're just buy one gun, talk about a safe queen. There's a safe queen right there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tony, you're not allowed to touch that one.
No. Yep. No. Look at the fiber optic rod. It's just a chunk of brass. That's going to fall out immediately. This thing's not meant to shoot. This is just meant to look at.
Huh.
Yeah.
Off.
Look at that.
What? What? That's not off. That's slide locked. Okay, whatever.
Well, yeah, off as in you're not firing, right? Now you're killing, now you ain't.
No. High voltage.
Oh, what? Okay. It's a limited run of two?
I don't know.
It says serial number 1 and 2, right? So.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Limited offering of 2 pistols. Sorry, they're all gone. Email me when they're back in stock. Those are the Damascus ones. I don't know why they still have them on the front there.
That's like saying, hey, Tony, go shoot an IPSC match with a Singer 1911. It's like $250,000 each.
Oh, they have some other ones, but they're around $5,000.
It's a buy once, cry once pistol. Wow.
I think I'd cry every time I took it out. Maybe every time I scratched it.
Aren't going to shoot it. Anyway.
Put an idiot scratch on it.
Oh, sorry. $5,000 was the start. They also have $8,000 ones.
Wow.
Okay.
Really nice. A lefty one.
All right.
The National Standard Southpaw. It's for lefties.
Like fully mirrored?
I don't know. I just looked at it for a little bit because I don't really care.
All right. Maple Seeds. Kelly?
Maple Seeds. So we do have a couple of events that still have spots available. We just posted them on social media also. So go October 5th. So it's this weekend. There is a couple of spots on Saturday. And then also October 6th, there's a couple of spots on the line at Stittsville. Stittsville is Ottawa. So you can go to our website and register through there. We do have one more event that's not sold out. Huronia Handgun Club in Penetanguishene. It's going to be November 17th. If we don't sell any more within the club internally, we're going to be releasing it soon to the public. So that is, it will be the last one, I think, in Ontario that we'll have out to the public. We are looking to fill our calendar for next year. So if you do have any clubs actually across the country who are interested in having events, send an email to info@mapleseedrifleman.com. We'll send it over to all of our coordinators across the country for the different sites or the different regions, the different provinces, and they'll talk to you about doing some events. But I do know that the Ontario gang, we're going to be talking this week. And we're going to start looking at planning our next calendar year. We already have clubs that are booking out. So if you're interested, particularly here in Ontario, just let us know.
Winter Seeds is not happening?
Winter Seeds are happening too. But we have to plan those into January and February.
Oh, it doesn't happen like December.
Well, we typically let people have Christmas.
Fair.
And so December has historically been the one month that we don't usually do things in because people are busy, whether it's preparing for Christmas or I also have things like, for example, calendar signings and then there's Alberta who doesn't want to do anything when it hurts to breathe.
If you give us a patch for extreme winter seed, I consider it.
We have one.
We do.
It has to be zero, below zero, and we have a winter seed one. We have a special blue patch. It's cold.
Well, yeah, but in Alberta, you got to go for extreme because it's going to be -20 or something.
Well, yeah.
I think in -20.
Like literally your rimfire guns won't shoot.
Yeah.
No, they will. Yeah. I've been there, done that. I've done a -25 maple seed.
Mm-hmm. I know. For us, winter guns don't shoot. We have to cook the ammo in the clubhouse before we take them out. Shoot them real quick. Go back.
Okay. So
make sure there's no oil in the firing pin and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, that was fine. It was only the ammo.
So as I said, if anybody is interested in having an event at your club, send us an email at info@mapleseedrifleman.com. If you've already had events, we'll be reaching out to you. These are for new clubs, just saying. That's about it for Project Maple Seed. Do we have anything? So the BTSA, Tony, you want to talk about that?
Yep. So we have a weekend match, the Halloween match, USPSA, coming up this Saturday.
Cool.
And I do have expectations from Taylor and Mel, and we'll see if they do it. I have expectations. I don't know if it's going to happen because it's a Halloween match and people dress up. Yeah, it's been like the most busy shooting season at BTSA. I guess a lot of IPSC matches happen during the summer, so A lot of club level matches are coming back for the weekends. And I think there's around the 20th, the weekend of the 20th, steel challenge match, 8-stage weekend as well. And then we have the IPSC style PCC and rifle championship hosted by the PCC master himself, the PCC grandmaster himself, sorry, and champion himself, Taylor. So there'll also be something to look out for. Auto registration on practice score. What about HGG firearm training, Adriel?
Yeah, Buddy Collins doing a couple October 6th and 7th. Contact me and I can hook you up with him for those if you want this weekend. That'll be a Sunday PAL course and a Monday evening RPAL. October 12th, we'll be doing one at Sherwood Park. That one's selling well. November 23rd and 24th at Sherwood Park as well. 23rd will be a PAL. 24th will be an RPAL. December 7th and 8th. That'll be also with Colin and me. That'll be in Devon. And December 15th, I'm very restricted at Sherwood Park. As per request, someone's turning 18 2 days before then. So I'm doing an RPAL for them. And anyone else.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah. It's a good time to get one into December.
Yeah.
Right before Christmas.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Okay. Apparently Mike says that Southern Alberta doesn't count. It's warm there.
Usually, yep.
Usually? For? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. December or winter seat? Or what are we talking about here? I'm thinking winter seat, right?
I'm busy. I got I'm done my season. I'm done.
You done your season? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the news. Early reports on crypto indicates make function issues.
Yeah, this was from Reddit. So this was kind of like a user report on it on Reddit. And let's see. And yeah, this guy was reporting some... I like to use Reddit because it's like it's just people who are reporting how things are going for them. So... when they give you, especially when people give you like really specific information like this, I really like it because it usually means it's accurate and it's giving you a data point, right? Your crypto might run fine. You might not run into any of these issues. This person did. They ran into some issues that they believe. So they had some failure to feeds, bolt filter remain open after empty mags, failure to extract rounds. He says most of it, he thinks, was the magazine's fault.
Okay.
Which is, again, good information. Comes with six of them. Maybe there's some issues in there. I doubt that the round extraction, like that one can't. Oh, no. Extract the round from the magazine. Oh, well, that
so failure to pick up a round from the magazine.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about like the takedown pins being tight. I mean, anyone who has an AR, like, yeah, the takedown pins tight. Can be really tight from factory. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely something. Handguard feels sharper on the edges. Yeah, that's from, you know, price point based machining, we'll say.
Yeah.
You can always change a handguard because it's an AR handguard. Put on whatever you want, right? Rifle feels overgassed. That, again, is also something you can solve. Put an adjustable gas block on there for an AR-15 one, or change the barrel and gas block, you know. Anodizing is different shades of black. So I'm not apologizing for this rifle because I actually don't think I should, like, people should buy this rifle until they have an FRT, but
right,
that's something my AR-15s suffered from. Different anodizing. Really? For sure. Oh, yeah. Aero precision was different from these guys,
well,
all over here. Yeah.
Yes, because that's not the same factory. But from the same factory, same gun, really?
With some, yeah. It's a market. Like, that's not a market quality. Market quality, the anodizing should be the same. But...
doesn't affect the function. That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was checking Armalytics to see if there was an FRT entry for it. There's not. It's the something else. Anyways, yeah, that's one data point I just wanted to share there.
Yeah, I was reading through as you were going on. So, well,
yellow brick timing issue.
Yep. So, this is a thing that Steel Challenge National, which is hosted in BTSA for the most part, they're realizing some issue with the yellow brick. Adriel just disappeared. So first, the yellow brick is out of production now. Okay. Second is there's something to do with the yellow brick that the timer doesn't actually start until the beep is complete. And I believe the beep is 0.2 of a second, or is it 200ths of a second? I think it's a point, like 20.
Beep. There you go.
Yeah. So, so it's hard to, but they're testing against the newest, best newest timer, which is the generally the AMG Commander. Yep. And the AMG Commander on their FAQ page says very clearly the timer starts right as you press, as in the beep starts, the timer starts ticking, which is probably more correct. So they're just trying to correct the timing issues because you always have a 20th of a second discrepancy between the yellow brick and the AMG timers. WorldShoot uses the AMG timers. BTSA now has moved everyone, at least from a steel perspective, to AMG timers. Because we're hosting the entirety of the Canadian national records for Steel Challenge, they have to correct some of them to make the time comparable. For IPSC, it's probably not as big of a deal because classification stages are pretty damn rare. But for USPSA and Steel Challenge related stuff, you are comparing yourself against the world based on a time. And now, depends on how you're doing it, you might be getting a 20th of a second advantage or lost.
Well, you say IPSC classifications are rare. The last time, and this is a long time ago, I looked into Alberta IPSC matches. A lot of them were classifiers. Do you have your IPSC? Do you have your like current membership?
Yep.
Take a look on the calendar and tell me how many you see. Because last time I looked, most of them had classifiers in them.
Really? I need to check probably off air, but...
most of them should.
But I believe there's only one suitcase in southern Alberta for IPSC that's traveling along, so...
Are you talking about like a suitcase like Crony?
No, like all the bricks, all the tablets are just in one suitcase. At least that's what I've known. So everywhere they go, it's the same timer. So I guess it's classifiers. Not as big of really? A deal. Yeah.
I would have thought that they would use different ones, but maybe they make do with all using the same ones. I'm not sure.
It's always, well, at least from what I know, is always this big Pelican case that get dragged around everywhere. So. Mm-hmm.
I've got the next one. Gunker,
GUNCER,
ceramic gun oil, GunX special gun oil, and universal oil. There is a recall. Stop using it. Contact North Silva. That's all. Health okay. Canada has.
They didn't say what's in it.
No, not on the news item I saw. But I
also
guess
it says for replacement label. So does that mean like it's just information label you have to slap on it or? You're going to get a shipping label to send it out. That doesn't make any sense to me.
North Silva.
It probably has the WMS.
Various Ballistol cleaning oils and gun maintenance products recalled due to improper labeling. It is a labeling thing.
What Ballistol?
Wait, you know what? I bet they didn't have French on it.
You know what? Probably.
Right?
Français?
Whoa. These ones show German on them. English. Okay, that one's got some Ballistol. French on it.
Jeez.
Oh, that one's German. That one's French and English. No silicone or PTFE. Made in
Recall
Germany.
Recallables, yeah.
Ballistol Universal Oil.
Yeah.
Purchase.
So that means I should
Between June 2018 and September 2024, if you have Ballistol, you probably this.
This is the problem. This title didn't give... I know Universal Oil is what they market it as, but like, I wouldn't know. I have Ballistol. Different kinds, too.
Okay, so it's, yeah, it's the appropriate labeling.
Holy.
Stop using that additional information.
It's got English. It's got French. On the very top, it's got German and Russian, it looks like.
It doesn't say you can't have more languages.
Details?
Skin-friendly, biodegradable. Maybe it's not biodegradable.
Maybe. Anyways, I've bought it since then, so I'm not going to stop using it.
I don't know what's wrong with it.
Right, I remember Kelly's a fan of it.
Actually, fall.
I'm not.
Oh, the black powder solvent, too. I got some of that, too. Okay, so what's common between these?
Quick, Adriel, contain yourself. French. Quarantine right now.
I have, like, so much of this stuff. I just want to know what's different.
Oh, God.
It just says it's the issue with the labeling.
Yeah, but
why do they say stop using it? Just say go get a replacement label. Don't they stop using
it? It's dangerous.
It's crazy. Well,
it's, okay, maybe it's not skin-friendly lubrication. Maybe it's not skin-friendly.
Richard says the Winchester M22, which is the black box Winchester ammo rimfire, has a recall for incorrect powder charge, causing potential damage to a firearm. And shoot double charges? Holy, really? To be completely fair, I am a hater of Winchester rimfire ammo just because their white box stuff doesn't work, like, ever. So I guess just don't buy Winchester rimfire ammo. If you have M22, though, do get in contact with the store or, I guess, with Winchester directly.
Okay. All right.
There's only 33,000 of these things that they sold in that time period. That seems really low.
That seems really low for freaking ballistol.
Ballistol, yeah. I will text North Silva or email. I'm going to do that. I will email North Silva, and I will post the findings on the
Discord.
Discord and on the Facebook page.
And we'll probably have a live report from you next
recall.
Week.
I don't want the label.
I don't want the label.
What's the new one say?
I want a label.
You want them to put a freaking sticker in the mail that says, oh, by the way,
don't
eat this. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna stick it on my work laptop and walk around with the ballistol label on the back of my work laptop.
Some of these have a little sticker you can pull up from the side. Anyways, we're off topic.
Yeah, we are. Let's go back because
it's to do with our and our listeners' safety. It's very important. Public announcement.
Don't look the ballistol, people. There you go.
But you're supposed to be able to.
No, that's frog.
It's biodegradable. Food safe is what it says on
food safe. Food yeah, safe. It's like the safest gun oil ever.
Okay, maybe it's not food safe. Maybe the cholesterol's too high. Maybe because they put food safe on there, they need to put the calories and the salt and the ingredients.
Okay. Let's move on, please.
Sorry, Kelly.
Thank you. New gun stuff is brought to you by Bullseye North. Anyways, okay. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud sponsor of the CCFR with a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter. Free shipping on orders over $250. And some restrictions apply. So if you have anything under $250, there's a flat rate of $17 that you can use for shipping. So go and subscribe to the weekly newsletter, and I'm going to rewrite this because it's stupid. And so you can get your first
Tony's ESL is poking through
to the hottest deals. Nope, Tony, it's fine. I'm just going to go rewrite it. Okay. Adriel, why don't you go over the new all the swords.
All Tony's stuff, so I'll just get Tony.
Well, no one's going to do it.
No, I love your choices, Tony. Thank you for pitching in and picking this stuff because I like it. The sword. Oh, you know, they had these. I want one of these. I want two of these. Cross.
I don't know how to be an English swordsman, but I can dream.
Looks cool.
They also have samurai swords, if you want those.
Where? How much are their samurai swords?
Well, you do have to pivot when the market on pistols is done, right? Let's go with swords and scabbards. Let's
you gotta think about it. In every single shooter game, you press one for your primary, which is usually a rifle. You press two for a secondary, which is usually a pistol. You press three, it doesn't give you a shotgun. It gives you a sword.
No, Tony. So this is
the perfect.
We perfected things with spears. And then when we got guns, and guns are better than spears, we put little spears on the end of them.
All right. I'm them just bandits. Saying.
SKSs, it's great.
Yeah. No, I don't do for shooter or any. The only thing that I play on my computer is, you know, Spotify. So,
Tony, why are you putting these expensive ass dies in front of us?
Because it's the match dies, right? You got to have the match set. So you have Hornady match dies for 308 Winchester because I don't subscribe to the 6.5. And then you get their A-tip, aluminum-tipped, high BC bullets matching 308 Winchester. Of course, you can also get in 6.5 Creedmoor, but you know,
these A-tip bullets, this is a pretty good deal for these bullets. 250 grain. Oh my God, you're not going to run that out of a 308. That's way too heavy. Maybe out of your Friend or Win Mag. That's too heavy.
Anyway,
I'd run like 210 max out of a 308. That's so heavy.
What's the ball weight for 308 bullets?
147.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. 147 grain.
It's kind of. I don't know what kind of Hornady magic is behind this, but their A-tip bullets always have like the highest BC.
Well,
it's kind of crazy.
It's 250 fucking grains. Well, not it's a javelin.
They have like other
their regular A-tip's good. Yeah, their regular A-tip's good.
Apparently you need a special seating die though. Seating stem, sorry.
So. Well, and like with a 308, you'd be giving up case volume. Yeah, 300 Win Mag or 300 PRC. Yep.
Yeah, Mike knows heavy. more of this than I do. I'd
use a 180, maybe a 200 if I want.
I just know how to crank on a lever and like 223 comes out.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice and small.
Yep. Mac will have a new set. They've been progressively releasing more new stocks this year. There's like a double tension stock. They have now kind of a mechanically locking stock. I think the selling feature is it's like only 8 ounces, so it's very light.
Wow.
Doesn't have any QD cups. It does have an M-lock slot on the side, so you can get an M-lock slot to put on the side to get your QD that way.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Trigger release slider mechanism, low profile, double duty, one-handed length of pull, and a lock on the bottom. Oh,
I don't know how solidly it will lock onto the.
It should.
What do you call that? Onto the buffer stock tube. Itself. Buffer tube.
Yeah.
I love the MagPul SL stock for that reason. It's even tighter than a CTR, and I love it for that. Oh, Richard Lee is saying they're cheap Federal American
cheap nine millimeter Acabellas.
Yeah, 9mm Acabellas, yep. And he is in at the Niagara store, I guess.
Cool.
You say you want speed and weight. I give you speed and weight. I think this is expensive, though.
Slit. Number five. Yeah, but you don't need that many shots. Like, this is a pheasant specialty load. As indicated by the picture of the pheasant on there. But number five, yeah, really
good. I don't know how to identify birds. I have already forgot all my hunter at.
It's the one that looks like a fucking clown. Look at it. It's got like a blue face and a red patch over its hair. It's got a, like, it's the
clown. It is a lovely bird. It is a beautiful bird. It's even better when it's, you know,
frizzy. You're going to Pheasant Festival soon, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it's beautiful, Kelly. It's weird looking. They're the weirdest looking birds.
Listen, it's better this than.
Be like shotgunning parrots out of a tree or something, right?
That is.
That's a very pretty bird. Boom!
Did that. Done that. Been there. Yeah.
Watch the Disney movie.
Yeah.
Number five. What's the speed on this thing? Inch and a quarter, 13.5.
Is that you want speed? I give you speed. More speed. Yes.
You know, this might be a better deal than that Aguila stuff.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. It's off you go.
Bigger shot size. The ounce and a quarter K. I think the Aguila is 1400 FPS. This is 1350.
How much is the Aguila? It's not as fast.
But this is number four. The Aguila was 14 something.
Wow, that's like I didn't end up getting the cost, man.
This is a little bit more than a buck around. I'm pretty sure the Aguila was way more than a buck around.
I'm not going to.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, it's like in a 10 round box?
Because I was going to use this for my gross hunting. I got some number four. What kind of speed?
Challenger, made in
ounce
Canada.
And an eighth. I'm cheap. Ounce and an eighth. What's the speed? They don't say. What? Probably regular.
So which, sorry, which caliber is that? Is it 12 gauge? What is it?
12 gauge.
Correct. We only shoot 12 gauges here.
Yeah. All of the gauges are
Tony.
We don't believe expensive ammo. Me and Adriel, same page.
Grouse. Picture of a grouse. This one, the pheasant, it'll just bounce off of him. Won't hurt him at all. That'll probably work fine.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll this is fine. Very interesting, though. Ultimate fast lead.
$35.
Highly polished shot. Highly polished.
I'm curious. Lead.
I'm curious.
Yes.
Yes. I do want to take a look at this. Okay.
Yep.
Don't worry. It will be very deformed at the time it hits the steel spinner.
Or the pheasant. Yes.
Wait. See this. The SS211 is evolving. Now I have rails everywhere. It's great. Now it's more functional than ever before.
But these guys don't have the meme pictures that Tactical Imports had.
What?
Tactical Imports is the one that's bringing these in. Oh, man. Okay. Just wait. Let me go back. We'll take a look at the pictures that G4C has. Okay, great. Uh-huh. Oh, it's very close. Oh, it's sitting next to a tree. Oh, it's... Yep. Yeah, it's black, but it's still kind of classy, right?
Oh, like with the flashlight and stuff. I saw that picture.
It had a couple of things on there, yeah. There's the S Tactical is what they're calling it. Same price. This is the one right here.
Laser gun. Yeah, laser.
Laser unit. Designator, red dot, offset, 45 degree iron sights. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, they meme the hell out of this thing. Look, there's
your pressure pad.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Designed your helmet. No, righty. Righty, you'd have your left hand up there.
Really?
Your fingers would wrap around, right?
That's kind of weird.
Your left hand is up here, so you'd use your fingers on the top to hit it.
I wouldn't. I would only use my thumb. But that's just me.
There's the picture against a tree. I guess G4C didn't want to use the tactical photos. Oh, here's it with a red dot and a light on the side. This one with the laser designator on the side. Anyways, yeah, that's
Wait.
Weird S tactical.
Your hand is there. How do you... Like, you're blocking the laser. The whole idea doesn't make sense.
I think they were...
No, you're not blocking it. They set it up correctly. So here, let me.
You're somehow not going to use a high grip on this.
Okay, that's the picture that they're using, right?
Right.
And just look at me for a second. You're going to that. It's going to be right here. So you're going to press. You're going to press for it. The light's on the other side. The light's right here, and the pressure pad's right here on the right hand side. Which for your left hand, if you're right handed, would be fine.
Which is a take. Take it to a clay match, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you take that to a clay's match, Richard, or at least my club here,
you'll be leaving.
Yeah, yes.
They don't want your kind.
I don't know. Diversity Dave has pulled off some crazy crap over the years.
Okay, I guess it depends on what kind of clay club, right?
That's a proper club. So it's basically bad.
Yeah. I've seen people at my club use pistol grip shotguns. Yeah, but it's kind of like why? But that one, I'd say no, it's not gonna be safe. Okay. Obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
So we are all done with that. And you know what? This week we didn't have a topic really that we were thinking about discussing. So did anybody come up with anything while we were reviewing some really horrible shotguns?
No.
For listeners, no. Richard says we should commission a tactical SS-211 for Kelly in 28 gauge.
Yeah.
410. Make it 410.
410. Well, there's no 410 anywhere, since at least I have 28 gauge now. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's it. I guess we don't have a main topic next week. Although, do we want to announce what we're doing next week? Because people may want to come on, and just because of who we're having on.
Trevor's coming on to talk about moose hunting next week.
Cool.
Week after, we're doing PRS.
PRS. We should be doing PRS and just confirming it with all of the peeps that are going to be. So everybody who attended the Worlds. Not everyone that attended the Worlds. We're going to have a couple of people on that attended the Worlds for and represented Canada for PRS. So tune in next week's Trevor. Everybody who would like to hear from Trevor again. Wonder what he's been doing since he left.
To spoil the show, moose hunting.
I'm just going to say. So apparently it's moose hunting. So it'll be good to get to hear from him. So everybody who's listening, either on the interwebs, social media, wherever you're listening, if you come join us next week, same time, same place, probably here. All right.
Just before we go too far,
I think we've already gotten there, Adriel. Gone too far.
So good. So good. These ELS 3D printed ELS things. Because when you have your shotgun stuff in front, able to pull those out, so nice. I had to get into a car, and I had this big this AR mag, but I didn't have to shoot rifle on that stage. Oh, well, just take that mag pouch out of the side, and now I can roll over on my side inside the vehicle. Made a huge difference on being able to fit in there. Highly recommend. If you got a 3D printer, go on to the Slamfire Radio Discord. We have a channel for it now. And that's one of the things up there that I would highly recommend you print.
What filament are you printing it with?
What's that?
What filament are you printing it with? What type?
Rapid PETG. And I can lay on it. I can lay on it. It won't break.
Good choice.
So PETG's good enough. Choice. Yep.
And shouldn't deform in the summer times either, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So remember when we were a gun show?
That's a gun thing.
We've been talking a lot about label makers, filament
organization, import
printing,
tires.
Yeah. Going to the match, important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So, all right. I think it's a really great idea. Go and do it. At least you don't have to pay for something ridiculous, right?
The factory ones. It's $50 for a set of two receivers and two forks. It's they're a couple of small pieces of plastic. It's ridiculous.
I know. I have one for my pistols.
The QLS? The QLS is the bigger one.
Yeah.
That one you can get off AliExpress for uber cheap.
I think I got mine for Safariland, so it wasn't uber cheap. It was stupid expensive.
This one was not.
I bet it's very important for three gun for IPSEC. I don't see a need for it.
No, not for IPSEC. But if you ever need to take your pistol off in a, like, you got to go take a dump or something like that. Okay, well, you just grab this and you rip that. Your pistol stays in the holster. You can chuck it on the safe table or you could, in three gun, you can put in your cart. As long as it's in the holster, it doesn't matter.
Wait, does Mike have any insider information on the 21 Sharp?
No, I don't think so. I think he just wants to laugh at it.
Did they kill it?
We were talking about it last week, remember?
Right, but that was why are we laughing about it?
I think it's a silly idea, personally.
I do too.
Fair. I think it can have a future.
I don't think so. Okay. Because if you're going to get a more expensive round, you're going to use like 17 HMR or something like that, right? Not this 21 Sharp thing.
Yeah. I agree.
It's like they're making a small, cheap round expensive. But why?
If you're going to do it, might as well just do 17 HMR. That's it.
Or 223. 223 is cheap as well, and it's got stankin' power compared to this thing.
Correct. You can't shoot an ORPS match with a 70 HMR, though.
You can't shoot an ORPS match with 21 Sharp. You will not be able to.
Maybe you could.
No, you'll not be able to, because it's completely different. It's a different cartridge. It's a different performance characteristic.
You can shoot
ORPS
and CRPS. You can shoot ORPS in 17 HMR.
No.
Okay. No.
You can't.
Not to my knowledge. Not BTSA. No. You can't use 17 HMR for that. Or WMR.
Let me check.
Okay. It's way better. It's not even close, Kelly. 17 HMR. My Savage over here is sub MOA at 100.
No.
It's not like to do that with 22 would cost you a lot.
For us, the concern was from when I still shot the ORPS, it was
beating up the hangers and that.
Yeah,
kind of
the
thing.
Steel. The yeah. steel.
Yeah,
Mike says you couldn't
use it. Yeah.
I believe you couldn't run 22 mags either. At least that's
and
the
you won't
BTSA.
Be able to use 21 sharp either. It's a jacketed round. You're making all these targets with the assumption that you're putting lead on target, like crappy lead bullets at like subsonic velocities hitting that stuff. And then all of a sudden you're shooting it with a jacketed, maybe a full metal jacket.
They have plated bullets offerings, so.
Yeah. They do.
That wouldn't be.
I just think they'll just deny the whole thing, right?
Let's wrap her up, boys.
YouTube comments.
All right, YouTube comments. Eddie was two comments. He is apparently a supporter of 21 Sharp. 21 Sharp looks interesting. I've discussed with fellow target shooters about a modernized 22LR before. Semi-spec shows the bullet have a diameter of 0.2105 inches. I guess it might be more appealing to rimfire firearm owners who have an easy barrel change capability. Anyone thinking about getting IBI to make them a 10/22 barrel in 21 sharp?
I don't think, you know.
Some barrel manufacturer are probably going to do it. If I don't think Ruger is first party supporting on a first wave. So.
Yeah, okay.
Second comment, Tony, to mitigate bang your knuckle on the lever loop, do like the cowboys and wrap some cord or leather around the front of the loop. Then you will be able to reveal in shooting your lever rifle. That's the name of the Savage lever rifle, lever in reverse. No, because I drive a manual transmission car, and the thing I don't like is the empty spaces between gears. It's the same idea. You don't want that. There's like,
then why drive
you have
a manual?
A pre-travel. No, manual cars, it depends on the transmission. You may or may not have that. If you don't have it, good. If you have it, bad. So it's the same idea when you have an extra large loop, which I don't shoot with gloves, even in negative 30s. I don't need extra space in there that's not doing anything.
So don't drive a manual car with the space, and don't buy a lever action with the space. Buy them without it.
Well, yeah, but Eddie is trying to convince me that I can fix it. But maybe you can mitigate it somewhat. That's it for the YouTube comments.
Can I add one more thing, like completely out of order, Kelly?
Absolutely.
SBI emailed out. They've got their Model C71 long range receivers. Here, let me show you my screen for just a second here. For under $200, they have them for 35% off. They have the really long range ones. So 20 Whoa. MOA, 30 MOA, 40 MOA, 50. You want a 50
All
MOA,
the MOA
rail built into your 10/22 receiver? You can. $192. And it takes the tough 22 mags too, or the Ruger 10/22 mags, whichever you want.
Why are they on sale for this much?
I don't know.
What is going on?
I like it. It's not on my wall. It's down here, maybe. I don't know. Anyways,
maybe I need to build myself a 10/22.
Can't use 17 HMR. No. You know what? Mm-hmm. We used to, I think when we originally, ORPS and CRPS was originally discussed, 17 HMR was a viable candidate at that point. But maybe it was
it's
been
too
since
much of a
ruled
performance
out.
Enhancement.
It is. I know, but I thought, no, there's still, anyways.
And if 22LR breaks like hangers and that kind of thing, 17 HMR would break them way faster. It's got much more power.
Yep.
Yes.
It's behind a 22 mag amount of charge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, why don't we talk about Cabela's and Brown Links? Who bought what? Cabela's bought, somebody bought the 511 hockey t-shirt. The Doken Power Throw Grip Rope.
Okay, somebody... one of our listeners is into waterfowl.
Yeah.
And they bought a whole bunch of stuff to relate to waterfowl. A power throw grip rope. This is to throw your decoys out. Yep. And then a grouse trainer, a Browning canvas training dummy. I don't know, that might be a duck one. A Dokken goose trainer. And then someone, might have been the same person, bought Federal 12-gauge target load shot shells. 10 boxes, so full
flat.
Somebody's going duck hunting and training a dog.
Yep.
Yeah. What about brown owls?
AR anti-walk pins and a smart mag tool for Glock.
That was Kyle.
Take the magazines out. Yeah.
AR anti-walk pins. Huh. Hmm. Hey.
Okay, Kyle's not going to be using the clamps, C clamp or a fires and that kind of thing.
That's a thing I have against Glock factory mags. Like, who designed this? Why?
Well, they didn't want the floor plate to come off, so they put a real.
I use Magpul magazines. I've never seen the floor plate flying. Just saying, I can disassemble it with my finger.
Yeah, I disassembled some MP mags to fit those things, and I was like, oh yeah, they're so easy. You just push the button with the thing, and it just opens. Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah. Glock apparently, it's because they were selling to militaries, that kind of thing, right? And the fact that it's hard to take apart is not a concern that they have. They want it to be hard to take apart.
I'm wondering if the P320 magazines by Magpul will be used in a military capacity. I think they could be. That's probably why they designed it. Still the same takedown.
Pleb tier militaries, maybe.
Also, their AR mags, already adopted by the military. Same takedown. And those are shooting full freaking auto.
Yeah. Sorry, Kelly. You want to keep going?
Yeah, I'm just checking out to see if 17 HMR is available at other places.
So. She's still convinced. You got to shoot 17 HMR.
No. I'm just looking to see where I can shoot it. Okay.
For competitions?
Yeah.
Nowhere it could be a big advantage.
Yeah. No, I was just looking at Borden to see if it was templated for Vimy Range, but it's not. So. Okay. So if you want to go and support us, but also buy some really cool stuff, go to our website and then click on the links there. You can go to Cabela's or Brownells and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Thanks to those that have done that, especially those that are going duck hunting and training their dogs. I hope you were very successful. Duck hunting has already started. And let us know how it went. If you'd like to know us, let us know how it went. You can send us an email at slamfireradio@gmail.com. Love to hear about it. Also, anybody who's listening and also supporting us on Player or Patreon, thanks to you guys too. So, shout outs, recommendations, anybody? Hello.
I got a shout out to my partner Colin for shooting again with me this year. It's great.
Cool. You had fun. Which new t-shirts did you have this year?
The Kenosha hat trick.
Did you use that one?
Yeah, that was the first time we used it. It was supposed to be here for the Sherwood Park team match, but they were a little bit late, so we used it for this one instead. Yep. And they are very bright.
Yeah, because you, for the Sherwood Park one, you used a
cat t-shirt. Yeah, cat pizza. Yeah, just.
Yep. That's what it's about. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Did you order new ones for this match then?
What's that?
Did you order new ones for this match then? So you're going
to use it? No, we used the ones that we were supposed to use at the last team match for this match. It was very easy to spot my partner. All I had to do was look around. Oh, he's right there because we were like blazing compared to everyone.
So it's actually a tactical advantage.
Yep. Never had to wonder where he was.
Yeah. Always when you're doing team shirts, always buy something or design something that is totally different that people easy peasy.
Specifically pink. Yeah. I think that's what we're agreeing. Pink is tactical.
Okay. Some people think it is. Apparently you do. All right. Tony, what about you? Do you got a shout out or a recommendation?
I do. I have one shout out. Thank you, Steve, for letting me borrow your gun, and I'll probably borrow it again. I don't think a lot of BTSA members listen to the show, which is kind of a bummer.
You should let them know.
And I have a recommendation for a YouTube channel, new YouTube channel, called 3-Gun AMAX. So the host is Adam Maxwell from Vortex Optics. Mm-hmm. And you might want to listen to the two episodes of Vortex podcast that he is on, one of them being the 1911. He covered that in depth and how you would like to configure a racing 1911 or 2011. And the other one is the introduction to USPSA. So if you're getting into action shooting sports, IPSC or USPSA, you might want to listen to that. He give quite a few pointers to new shooters, for example. Tell the match director that you're new. Tell the squad that you're new. So, you know, you can get some benefits like going back to the bottom of the shooting list. Yeah, so he is rebooting his personal channel to share some thoughts on USPSA shootings, 3-gun shootings, things like that.
Cool. Good recommendation.
His name mentioned a couple of times by maybe Stoger. I can't remember.
I was listening I was listening to him on the Vortex podcast. Okay, I have a shout out. I'm going to give a huge, and I mean a massive shout out to Random Dave for being the most awesomest to RSO with the him, as well as Brian Bolivar, who, as I said, ran the butts like awesome. It was a great job. And Rick for coming up from Quebec to the Katie. It was lots of fun. We had a good time. Kind of reminded me why we're doing these. It's so much fun. And all the people that came out too. So we had Richard Lee, who's listening tonight. He came out, and Alex, he came out too. We just had so many really good people on the line, and it was just made the whole entire weekend so much fun. So thank you again for that. It was. And I don't have any other recommendations other than the one that Tony's given for going to talk. Yeah, listen to the new Vortex podcast. Well, it's not a new Vortex. It's the guy that does Vortex. Go and, yeah. Anyways, hi. Bye. So tune in for next week. We'll have Trevor on. The week after that, we have some excellent people coming on to talk about how they represented Canada. And other than that, go and join our Discord server if you want to print some really cool stuff. There is some stuff on there now about 3D printing. You can watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and all the Twitch players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can hear us on Spotify, iHeartRadio, everything that all the podcast places. You can go join the CCFR, because if you don't, you really need to in order to support us and support yourself as gun owners here in Canada. Tune us in next week, and let's talk about moose hunting. Everybody have a great week. Bye.
Right.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.